The Lord thy God shalt thou adore, and him only shalt thou serve. And the devil left him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Did any of you have a chance to look up that book I mentioned on Wednesday, The Life of St. Anthony of Egypt, one of the first lives of the saints ever written? On Ash Wednesday, I recommended, as part of our Lenten practice, the ancient monastic custom of reading a book, one book at least during Lent, and I hope that all of our children of our school and our homeschooling children and children who go to school in other places will all check in with me about their book by means of giving me by Easter Sunday a little book report, the book that you have read. If you read this book, you'll find it to be fascinating. I was reading a bit of it this past week, and it tells the story of all of the times the devil, as he did with our blessed Savior first in today's gospel, for the servant is not above his master, would come to this great monk and hermit and would tempt him under forms of different monsters or very alluring temptations, and sometimes would beat him up and leave him wounded and weak. But I think of all of the appearances of the devil, the most interesting for me, which truly struck me, is that once Saint Anthony came across the devil seated at the door of his monastery, and the devil, it seems, was in kind of a philosophical mood. And he asked the saint, he said, "Why do the monks and the Christians accuse me falsely? Why do they hate me so much?" And Saint Anthony answered, "Why, in return, why do you annoy us so much?" "I don't annoy you," he said, "because I am no longer capable of doing anything. Have you not read in the Psalms, 'The swords of the enemy have lost their edge forever'? I have nowhere to go, neither in the country nor in the towns. Everywhere there are monks and Christians. Remember that, and do not belittle your own power." What a remarkable admission from the devil. Would it apply to us and to our day? You see, back then, the day of Saint Anthony, they said that it seemed that the cities were emptying themselves, and Christians were pouring into the monasteries, the deserts of Egypt, and thousands of monks gave up willingly property and the right to marriage and family and led poor and humble lives, sometimes eating only once a week or even less, practicing extraordinary penances and practically constant prayer. And you might say, well, that was then. After all, look at today. It's the opposite, isn't it? Surely the devil is stronger now. That is to say that our monasteries have all been emptied and everyone has gone back into the cities and thrown off their habits. And the devil, as the one mystic says, has been let out of the abyss of hell to tempt us. The church is going through the greatest crisis or chastisement through which she has ever passed. And those three temptations are still being used to lure men to their destruction. St. Thomas Aquinas says, the three temptations in the gospel stand for the lust of the flesh, our own hope for glory in this world, and our eagerness for power. And you might say, well, surely the devil is victorious today. Who, after all, is poor? And who's humble? Who tries to be chaste? Who fasts or gives away money and alms to the poor? We allow ourselves to be distracted by all the lies and the entertainment of a filthy media, and the devil seems to be successful more now than ever before. And yet, Christ reigns. means. We must never forget this truth. We honor a crucified Savior. We honor a heart crowned with thorns, bleeding for our sins still today. But we must never forget that our Lord reigned from the tree or the throne of the cross, and that he is victorious. And because our Lord conquered the devil once as our head, our thorn-crowned head, we, his members, the members of his body, share in that victory. We must never, ever belittle. Imagine taking the devil's advice, but we all need to do that this Sunday. We must never, ever belittle the power that we have in our Lord. The devil, his attacks against us, are weaker than they were before our Lord died on the cross. The devil, he has been conquered by Christ dying and then rising again from the dead. And we, the more we humble ourselves when we're tempted, the stronger we will be. If we fall, it's maybe because we're depending upon our own strength uniquely. This humility means this: confidence, not in ourselves, but confidence in our Lord, employing the same methods. They're so old-fashioned and traditional: prayer and fasting and alms deeds and charity with our neighbor, the same methods that our Lord taught us at the beginning, which all of the saints have practiced. When we are faithful that way, in spite of this incredible, terrible time of crisis and chastisement for the church, when it seems that hell has opened up and the devils are crawling out to tempt and lure men to destruction, we can cry out with St. Paul, "Thanks be to God, who hath given us the victory in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let us never forget that we serve a victorious and a glorious master, that our Lord conquers. But because we do forget, because we may have been so busy this week that we never quite got that book lined up to read during Lent, because we meant to fast, but then we got hungry, and so we decided to eat something, because we meant to make it to stations, but then we're kind of tired after a day's work and never quite got there, and things got away from us, and because really these last few days haven't seemed that different from the first few days of this past week. Our Lord, in his mercy, comes to offer us, remember, the second gospel in another way, to distill all of the promises and all of the potential of our holy faith, to sum it up in one heart, his. If only we will have a devotion to his Sacred Heart, then the victory, in spite of all of our weakness, is ours. Humility, confidence. These are the great themes of Sacred Heart devotion. If you have trouble putting them into practice in your own life, when the devil comes to tempt you, why then, be devout to his heart, and our Lord will do the rest. Remember, you have the victory already. He, the head, has already conquered Satan. What are the great elements of devotion to the Sacred Heart? Remember, it is to worship his heart, to honor it deliberately and specifically as the great symbol of his love, God's love for man. Remember, it is to believe in his merciful love for all men, and that you in turn, since you're so overwhelmed with God's goodness, want to at least give him something back again. How? By reparation. The communion of reparation on First Friday in particular, and by an especial love and devotion towards the Blessed Sacrament of the altar. These are all the classic ways of making a true devotion in your life to his heart. so that when you fail and you seem to be losing and not feeling any of the victory of your faith, our Lord steps into the picture as he did when he appeared to Margaret Mary in 17th century France and shows his heart with all of its love and all of its power, so that you who are faint and weak of heart can know his victory. Now, of all of the different practices of devotion to his heart, which come with so many rich promises, there is one in particular, St. Margaret Mary says, which rejoices Christ's heart and terrifies the devil. It would make him sit and wait for you. Were you to do this, he'd wait for you at your kitchen door when you get home from Mass today, and he would shake his head and say, "Don't belittle your own power, believe me. You Christians are still awfully powerful." What is it? It is to consecrate yourself to his heart. We know in modern times how pleasing and powerful this is when we do it through Mary's Immaculate Heart. "Let us renew often," Margaret Mary says, "our consecration to the heart of Jesus, and let us live that consecration faithfully. Our Lord takes a singular pleasure in it, and the devil has a most intense fear of this devotion to his loving heart because of the salvation of the multitude of souls which it effects in favor of those who consecrate themselves completely to the Sacred Heart for the purpose of loving it, honoring it, and glorifying it. We renew that consecration every first Friday and on certain feast days of the year. There is no reason why you should not renew that consecration today at Holy Mass. If you need to, confessions are being heard off and on all morning. Our Lord will be coming to so many of you in the Blessed Sacrament this morning. When he is in your heart, consecrate it, that heart of yours, to him, and know the power of his victory. We get so used to being beaten up that we even belittle ourselves. We get so used to defeat after defeat that we get the idea that a victory could never, ever be possible, and that prayers, well, they're just not really heard anymore. Those are all further lies of the devil. But once, really discouraged, he told the truth to St. Anthony. Please remember it. Do not belittle the power that is yours as a Christian. And when you don't take advantage of everything else, and when the long way seems too long and difficult, remember the short way, the summary, all summed up in one heart red and beating with love for you, on fire with love for you, his heart. When you receive him today, consecrate yourself to him. And see what the devil has to say to you when you go home this morning. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.